അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അഷ്ഹദു അൻ ലാ ഇലാഹ ഇല്ലല്ലാഹ് അഷ്ഹദു അൻ ലാ ഇലാഹ ഇല്ലല്ലാഹ് അഷ്ഹദു അന്ന മുഹമ്മദ് റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് അഷ്ഹദു അന്ന മുഹമ്മദൻ റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് ഹയ്യാ അലാ സ്വലാ ഹയ്യാ അൽഫലാഹ് ഹയ്യാ അൽഫലാഹ് അസ്സലാത്തു ഖൈറു മിനന്നൗം അസ്സലാത്തു ഖൈറു മിനന്നൗം അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ ലാ ഇലാഹ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, my dear, wonderful and beautiful brothers and sisters. Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother, Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive and we worked hard to get the believers off to a good start each morning during this blessed month of Ramadan. We thank you for joining us, and we pray that Allah will guide the words of each of our guest speakers, and that those words have been beneficial, and those words will aid us all in our growth and development as believers in Allah. Dear family, we were blessed to hear a powerful and stern and awesome talk yesterday from our beloved brother and friend, Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad. We thank Allah for his spirited and inspiring words with us yesterday. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today. And to take us further into our program will be our beloved sister and Dr. Nisa Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Whew. Welcome to our listeners from all around the world. And we want to thank you for your patience this morning, for our glitches and restarts, and just thank you so much for bearing with us as we end this holy month of Ramadan. Today is the last day of Ramadan. It is our last day of fasting. And I want to continue with historical events that happened during this holy month. This morning, we delve into a powerful event that illuminates the character of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the importance of safeguarding the honor of the innocent, and the ultimate vindication that comes from Allah the Almighty. The shadow of falsehood. Imagine a storm cloud gathering over the early Muslim community. 5 years after the Hijra, a malicious accusation was leveled against Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the Prophet's beloved wife. This accusation, fueled by jealousy and hatred, cast a dark shadow over her reputation and threatened to tear apart the fabric of the young Muslim community. Here's what happened. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his army were on their way back from the Battle of Mureisi, which occurred in the month of Shaban, the month before Ramadan. Aisha was accidentally left behind without any way for her to return by herself. One of the companions, who usually makes final checks to ensure nothing was left behind, saw her. Without uttering a word, and with no exchange of words, he lowered his camel for her to ride, then led the camel until they caught up with the group the next morning. Upon their arrival, the hypocrites of Medina started spreading rumors, accusing her of adultery, and guess what? Some of the Muslims believed it. Does this sound like something you've experienced? Have you been the victim of gossip and slack talk? Well, dear believers, this nonsense continued for more than a month. As for Aisha, she just happened to be sick, and she didn't know about the slander that was taking place. What upset her when she was sick was that she observed her husband's behavior change toward her. His level of compassion seemed to be different, she explained. When she finally learned what was going on from another sister, she asked the Prophet's permission and went to her parents' house. She said, rumors about this slander went on spreading in the city for about a month, which caused a great distress and anguish to the Holy Prophet. I cried due to helplessness, and my parents were sick with mental agony. At last, one day her husband visited her parents and he sat near her, which he hadn't really done since the slander had started. He said to her, "Look, Aisha, I have heard this about you. If you are innocent, I expect that Allah will declare your innocence. But if you have committed the sin, you should offer repentance and ask for Allah's forgiveness. When a servant of Allah confesses his guilt and repents, Allah forgives him." Aisha looked at him and she said this, "You have all heard something about me and believed it. Now, if I say that I am innocent and Allah is my witness and I am innocent, you will not believe me. And if I confess something, which I never did, and Allah knows that I never did it, you will believe me. I cannot but repeat the words which the father of Prophet Yusuf had spoken. I will bear this patiently with good grace." Despite the immense pain and humiliation, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, remained steadfast in her faith and trust in Allah. She knew her innocence, and she placed her trust in the divine plan. This unwavering faith serves as a powerful lesson for all of us, reminding us that even in the face of adversity, we must hold on to our faith and trust in Allah's ultimate justice. The revelation of Surah An-Nur. In this climate of doubt and uncertainty, a beacon of truth emerged, the revelation of Surah An-Nur, the light. This powerful surah not only condemns slander and gossip, but also explicitly declares the innocence of Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. Verse 24 says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and those who accuse chaste women and do not produce four witnesses, lash them with 80 lashes and never accept their testimony thereafter. And those are indeed the transgressors. The revelation of Surah An-Nur served as a powerful act of divine vindication. It not only cleared Aisha's name, but also established clear guidelines for protecting the honor of women and the importance of safeguarding the Muslim community from baseless accusations. This message resonates even today, reminding us of the importance of upholding truth, protecting the innocent, and relying on Allah for justice. So believers, what can we learn from this lesson? As we navigate our own journeys, let the story of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, be a source of information. Even in the face of immense hardship, her unwavering faith serves as a powerful example for all Muslims, the importance of truth. We must actively combat falsehood and uphold the truth, just as Surah An-Nur did for Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Trust in Allah's justice. Ultimately, true vindication comes from Allah. We must place our trust in His divine plan. The story of Aisha and the revelation of Surah An-Nur offers a profound message of faith, resilience, and the unwavering justice of Allah. May this Ramadan be a time for reflection as we end it, for strengthening our faith, and for upholding the values of truth and justice. Our special guest this morning has become a fan favorite, and we could not end the month without her. It is none other than Sheikha Aisha Prime. Sister Aisha.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina Habibina Munan Muhammad. You know, as we are in these last moments, last hours, subhanAllah, of Ramadan, we always have to reflect back to the beginning. In the beginning, when we were reciting the verses of the Quran, when it says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That, O you who believe, right, that fasting is prescribed for you, perchance you might gain taqwa. Like, of course, when we look at this, it's always shocking and amazing that Allah is calling out to the believers and saying that you may be believers, but you still need a prescription. You still have sicknesses, diseases of your heart, of your soul. There are things that you're still wrestling with in terms of your discipline and your focus. And so when we're at the end of this Ramadan, we have to say, did the prescription work? Meaning, did I take the prescription properly so that I would get the desired result? As we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us that there are people who fast and they gain nothing but hunger and thirst, right? And then there's another group of people, as Allah says at the end of this verse, la'allakum tattaqun, right? That perchance you might gain taqwa, meaning that this is an opportunity, right? Meaning it's not guaranteed, it's something that you're working towards. And so when we look at the definition of taqwa, it is to have a mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. It's to have a relationship, right, that's gained from that mindfulness that leads one to a deep awe, and that awe of His greatness and magnificence and His mercy and His love and care and concern over the believers then causes one to say, Ya Allah, I'm so in love with You, and I'm so in desire to be in close proximity and an intimate relationship with you, Ya Allah, that then you say, I don't want to do anything or say anything that would jeopardize my relationship with you. And more importantly, I don't want to be a person that is anything other than the one that is most beloved to you. Like, I want to be the one that's beloved to you. And so with that being said, we understand that that was the goal. Right. And so did fasting only, you know, give you hunger and thirst and rejuvenate your physical body cells? Or did fasting rejuvenate your faith? Did it reinvigorate your certainty that Allah is the one who provides and takes care of? Right. That we talk about energy cannot be created or destroyed. So it's only the creator who can give energy. It wasn't the food. It wasn't the water. You know, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave energy. Who gave us energy to stand in the night and pray sometimes for a third of the night or half the night? Who gave us the energy to do that after not having eaten or drinking all day? Surely it is the Lord of the worlds. Surely it is the one who is the most great, who is the most magnificent. And so when we begin to recognize, Ya Allah, it was you all along, right? Then that should infuse our hearts with a level of dependency and recognition of how much we are in need of Allah and how much, subhanAllah, He's taking care of us. I want to remind us for this as well. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the Quran. See, when we do khatam of Quran, we complete the Quran. One of the sunnahs that we learn that our teachers would remind us is that as soon as you finish Nas, you will see the Imam going back to Alif Lam Mim, going back to those beginning verses. Why? To say, I will never neglect the Quran, even though I feel like I've finished it. No, it's time to review it, to go back again. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Right? And so in this verse that Allah starts off saying, you know, Alif Lam Mim, so much meaning, right? Connected to the one who has Al-Alim, the one who is all-knowing, the ones who stand, bow, and sujood, right? That Allah says, this is a book and which in it is guidance for the muttaqin, right? For those who have taqwa. Now, the difference between just having taqwa and being from among the muttaqin means that you are established in that station, meaning that you've been working on to your taqwa, you've been working on your being aware of Allah, conscious of Allah, you've been working on that relationship, that love, that making sure that you're not doing anything that displeases Him. You've been working on it until now that's who you are. Now you are the muttaqin. You are that's your station, that's your rank, right? And Allah Azza wa Jalla is calling you by it. And so what He's saying is, the one who's going to really get the benefit of this Quran, the one who's going to understand it, that it is truly a guidance, meaning that you're going to let this Quran guide your life, mold and shape you into who you're supposed to be. The one that you don't move right or left unless Allah has said that this is what I command you to do. That you're not that person that says, I'm not going to act on something. I'm not going to be anything, right? Accept what is according to this guidance of this book. I'm going to do its commandments. I'm going to avoid his prohibitions. You can label that my character. That's my personality, right? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as the walking Quran, right? And so all this recitation that we've been doing throughout Ramadan, right, reading the Quran, is so that as our hearts are literally being quarantined from our eyes, what our eyes are watching, our ears are listening to, our mouths are taking in and putting out, and what our stomachs are taking in and putting out, where our feet are traveling, whether or not we're with the believers in the places of worship, that literally our hearts, these are all the seven rivers to the ocean of the heart. So in our private parts being stopped from being engaged in marital relations, Allah says, I'm quarantining your heart. I'm quarantining your soul so that I can fill it with the light of the Quran, because the light of the Quran through it, you're going to have guidance to attain the station of being those who are at the rank of truly, truly being God-conscious people. So, jazakana al-khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family this month of Ramadan, for its light to shine on you and your family and your lineage, not only throughout the year, but throughout the entirety of our lives until the Day of Judgment. May Allah ta'ala allow the blessing of the Quran to always be your guiding light and to illuminate your heart with fountains of wisdom. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear sister. And thank you. Thank you for your beautiful words with us this morning, Sister Laisha Prime. May Allah continue to bless you in your study. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have the Umar report from Miko Lippert.
Well, this is the first time I've ever heard that there's a need to condemn. And say, yes, but of course they're suffering, but first we need to condemn. Are we out of our minds? Condemning the resistance of the people who are being oppressed and killed, subjected to genocide for 75 years? Are we out of our minds? Are we out of our minds? Are we outside of our minds? When we let this ridiculous narrative take hold and spread and then participate in it, nodding our heads like sheep. Oh, and by the way, yes, there is a genocide going on and it's terrible, but first we have to condemn the Palestinians who dare to stand up. Palestinians who have shown an ability to sacrifice and amounts of courage that, as far as I can remember, are unprecedented, facing this horrific, horrific oppression. But what are we really talking about? Again, we've heard lists and lists and lists of crimes committed by the state of Israel, lists and lists of crimes against humanity. And there's always seems to me like there's a little bit of a sense of surprise, a little bit of shock, a little bit as though this was somehow not predictable. What we are seeing now in Gaza was not only predictable, it was preventable. And we did not prevent it. The previous massacre in Gaza was predictable too, and that was not prevented. And we can go on and on and on and on back 75 years. Because what could possibly be expected from an apartheid regime established after a massive campaign, open massive campaign of ethnic cleansing, massacres, and the beginning of a genocide that is still going on today? What could possibly be expected? That was the founding moment of the state of Israel. Close to 1 million people forced out of their land. God knows how many were massacred. And that was the beginning. That was 1948. So now we're shocked. All these lists and lists and lists and lists, there's nothing new about them. Except this time the numbers are higher. This time the numbers are, even by Israeli standards, it is shocking. But this was predictable and this was preventable. And every time something happens, we rise, we protest, we demand, and we forget.
You have an end.
Instead of standing there and demanding an end, an absolute end to the oppression and the killing of Palestinians, an end to it, not a ceasefire to it, an end to it, a political solution that will guarantee the lives, the security, the safety of Palestinians. That has never been discussed. I don't recall it ever being discussed, that guarantees need to be put in place. Guarantees need to be put in place for the life and security and the safety of Palestinians, because Palestinians have been living in a state of terror for 75 years. Not just now, but for 75 years living in a state of terror, whether they're in the West Bank, whether they're in the Gaza Strip, whether they're citizens of the state of Israel or so-called citizens. They have been living in a state of terror, and they still do today. Granted, the level of terror has increased since October the 7th.
Thank you, Brother Miko, or Mr. Miko Leopard, for your words with us this morning. We will now have the fast fact from Sister Majida. Sister Majida.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. The fast fact for the day is, Ramadan is a month of mercy, not perfection. Allah knows we are not perfect. He created us. What use does Allah have with a perfect people? What use do perfect people have with Allah? We are at the end of the month of Ramadan. As a crescent moon of Eid approaches, a bittersweet feeling may wash over us. Ramadan, the blessed month of mercy, is ending. But a thought lingers. Was it truly just a month of mercy? Perhaps a closer look reveals a beautiful paradox, a beautiful contradiction. Ramadan was about more than ease and comfort. It was a month of rigorous fasting, late night prayers, and heightened spiritual discipline. Hunger pains gnaw at us, reminding us of the less fortunate. Long nights in prayer tested our resolve, pushing us to strengthen our connection with Allah. This was a month of receiving mercy, but it was more importantly a month of actively seeking mercy through self-discipline and sacrifice. By experiencing hunger ourselves, we cultivated empathy for those who struggle daily, like those in Palestine, Sudan, the Congo, and maybe right in your own neighborhood. By controlling our desires, we learn to appreciate the blessings we often take for granted. This newfound empathy, a direct result of the challenges of Ramadan, allows us to extend continued mercy to others beyond this month. Some of us may only see Ramadan as a one-time transaction with mercy. It's more like an investment. The seeds of good deeds, the strengthened connection with Allah, the lessons learned, these are the seeds we sow during Ramadan, hoping they blossom into a life of continuous mercy. Ramadan was also about growth. We delved deeper into the Quran, seeking guidance and wisdom. We reconnected with our communities through shared prayers and acts of charity. These experiences, born out of the unique offerings of Ramadan, equipped us to be better Muslims, spreading mercy and compassion throughout the year. The habits we built, the lessons we learned, the connections we fostered, these are the seeds of mercy planted during Ramadan. It's not the end, it's a beautiful beginning. We carry these seeds with us, ready to blossom into acts of kindness, charity, and unwavering faith throughout the year. So, was Ramadan simply a month of mercy, or was it more? Perhaps the beauty lies in the paradox itself. It was a month of both receiving and actively seeking mercy. It was a month of hardship that fostered empathy. It was a month of discipline that fueled growth. As the last sunset of Ramadan paints the sky, let us not mourn the end, but celebrate the transformation within. Let us carry the spirit of Ramadan forward, extending the circle of mercy to encompass ourselves, our community, and the world around us. May the seeds of mercy planted in Ramadan continue to bloom throughout the year, leaving a lasting legacy of compassion and faith. That's our fast fact of the day. Ramadan is a month of mercy, not perfection. Remember, Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Ramadan Mubarak and Eid Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, my dear sister Majida. All praises are due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare to read our 30th part of our Quran, I would just like to humbly remind you of what we read yesterday on day 29 as it relates to the eclipse that we saw yesterday in chapter 75, starting with verse 7. And if I were you, I would go and read that and look at what we saw yesterday. Very, very significant. Very significant. Well, brothers and sisters, we're on day 30. On our 30th day of reading of the Quran, it starts with chapter 78, verse 1, through chapter 114, verse 6. Surah 78, Ayat 1 through Surah 114, Ayat 6. And as we close this part of our program, we will ask our brother once again, would he bless us with prayer, Brother Abdul Shahid Muhammad, Brother Shahid.
As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak and Eid Mubarak. Dear believers, let us close with prayer. قل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد آمين
آمين. Thank you, Brother Shahid, for your prayers with us this morning. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, on behalf of our guest speaker this morning, our beloved sister, Sister Laisha Prime, and her beautiful and spirited words with us, we thank you, my dear brother, our dear sister. We thank you for your words and your family, and may Allah continue to bless you as you continue to spread this word of Islam. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whom we will hear from tomorrow on this line, closing our program out with the Eid lecture that he's going to give us tomorrow, the Eid talk. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank you, Minister, for all that you have done and are doing in spreading this powerful word of Islam. May Allah continue to bless you and your family, sir. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank Allah for each and every one of them, all that they have done and are doing in aiding and assisting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in spreading this word of Islam. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Nasser, Brother Shaheed, and on behalf of each and every one of you that have gone out and fed the homeless, fed our people, from the little study groups in Birmingham and Lexington and Louisville to the big houses in Houston and Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. and Memphis and Miami. We thank Allah for each and every one of you, and the word that I got was, we fed over 50,000 during the month of Ramadan. And that does not take into account the iftars that we fed, the little twos and fews that may not have been reported. We thank Allah for each and every one of you who participated, who had the heart, who donated the bread or the cookies. We thank you. On behalf of each and every one of you, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.
Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah.
ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم.